Today on the podcast, it's time for my favorite part of the week, a moon chat with the amazing Kathleen Berry. Hello, welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C. I'm an Ayurvedic coach, yoga instructor, and doula, sharing with you all the things I am learning about and teaching about in my everyday so that we can all find just a little more balance, bliss, and confidence. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoy it, please do subscribe, rate, leave a review, and definitely share with a friend. Thank you so, so, so much. I'm going to fully admit, I just had a Reiki session and I feel amazing. It's actually the first Reiki session I've ever done. If you don't know, it's energy healing where they use light touch, but also just hands kind of hovering above your body to really balance your energy centers. So great news is that I feel amazing. Like all of my muscles feel so loose and limber and fabulous. Bad news is that some of my wording is coming out a little floppy because my brain's such an interesting space. So that's just the PSA as we get into this episode. Other important things for you to know. One, there are 4 spots left in my yoga retreat. We're going in May 16th to 19th to Lake Anna, which is about 90 minutes outside of DC. We're going to do 3 days of yoga and Ayurveda, cooking, and all things wellness. It's going to be amazing. If you want to get in on it, please do check out the website. It's also at bit.ly/mayyogaretreat. And that's going to be all as one word, May Yoga Retreat. It is going to be amazing. I am so pumped. We actually have a few people coming from out of the DC area, like coming down from New York and parts of New York City. So, you know, don't let the distance deter you. It's going to be amazing. Also, I am doing classes over in Ballston, Saturday mornings, yoga basics at 9 a.m., integrative vinyasa, which is like an intermediate style, at 10:30. It is going to be so wonderful. The classes start tomorrow on March 2nd. I am just so excited to really bring everything, all of my experiences into teaching these classes. So we're going to move, we're going to breathe. There's going to be some amazing energy, essential oils, breath work, yoga poses, quotes, music, and great community. Please do check it out if you are in the area, or tell a friend that lives in the DC area that you think they should check out this yoga class because it's going to be really, really wonderful. Again, all the details are on my website, behappyhealthyhuman.com. So let's get into our conversation, our moon chat with Miss Kathleen Berry.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Sam.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Thank you so much for joining us for a moon chat. Do you know that these are like people's favorite episodes? Oh, so many people told me about how they love these.
That warmed my heart.
good, because they're amazing. They're absolutely wonderful.
They are so fun to do.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk the world. I mean, anything about astrology and life you want to get started on, or should we dive right in?
I think we can dive right in. Let's do it.
Great. So what's going on in the planetary universe today?
Well, so today I wanted to share with people, because you and I talked about this a bit, about like, where can I find my natal chart? Because some people hear things like my rising sign or my moons and whatever, and it's like, where do I even find that information out? So I figured today we could share a little bit about that. And then also talk a little bit about the impending Mercury retrograde, which always sends people into a tizzy, but hopefully quell some nerves, because I have a really refreshing take on Mercury retrograde since I've been diving deeper into astrology myself, where now I actually kind of look forward to it. Instead of dreading it.
I am so excited about that, because I do think, like, I think if people know anything about astrology, the first thing they say is like, well, I know I'm a Virgo, or I know I'm an Aries, and like, okay, great. So they get out their sun sign. And then like the big thing is like, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. Like that's like the second thing that people know.
Yes.
And so I'm always excited for a fresh take on things. And also the how to dive deeper is a really important and great one. Cause I know when you like introduced my whole chart to me and you finally made sense of astrology to me, it was like, worlds opened up, and like it became that much more meaningful because I realized the ways, like everything about the sun sign, am I getting it right? Like the sun sign, everything about the sun sign that I didn't totally resonate with was explained by what was going on in the rest of my chart. And so that was great. Like, so for example, for me, Virgo, I know we give like all the Virgos and Aries, like all the information they need, but like for me, Virgo, you know, like sure, detail oriented and some of that, like a little more quieter, sure, like makes sense, but I wouldn't consider myself like a perfectionist, crazy, like doesn't like to have fun person. And, like, I'm not like 100% Virgo life, and understanding rising sign particularly, things about my Mercury sign and my work ethic, like all of those things kind of just explained away those different pieces that that didn't fully recognize, that I didn't fully connect with. So I am so glad that we're going to do this, because I think that'll also make the entire astrology thing feel more real to people.
Right. I love that. Now that, and I felt the same way. And I think I got my hands on my own natal chart. And just for those listening, natal and birth chart are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. What it refers to is the snapshot of the night sky at the time of your birth and Earth's orientation to the night sky and the constellations and the planets at the time of your birth. One caveat I love, which I've shared with you, but I want to share with folks listening, is that having the time of your birth is a privileged piece of information. And if you don't have it, that's okay. You can still work with this and know a majority of your chart. The one like dependent sign is your rising sign or your ascendant. Again, interchangeable, rising and ascendant mean the same thing.
Well, good to know. I did not know that. Thank you.
Yes, good to know. And that is okay. You can always just use a default, like 12 noon is what most astrologers would recommend. And you're going to get a really good sense of what the rest of your chart's telling you. If you really read, like if you read your ascendant or your rising, because you don't know your birth time, and it's like, that is not me, I would recommend playing around with adjusting it to every, because that's about how often the ascendant changes. And then on a later episode, we can talk about this, but then what that ascendant sign does is set up all of the houses in your chart. So
interesting. Okay. Yes. Well, yeah, we'll have to do the houses. That's a great point. But if we could sit back for like half a minute. So if you're going to get your natal or birth chart, so we know you need your birth date. Okay. Birth time is like a useful thing to have. And then also it's your location, right?
Yes. You're the city, state, if you're born in the US or country, province, city, all of that. Most places are going to have international capabilities. If you find a chart that doesn't allow that, I'm about to give you two resources that do. So, and these will be in, I believe, the show notes, but first would be, it's called Astrolab, but that's with an E at the end. And we'll, again, it'll be in the show notes, but if you wanted to search it in Google, it's Astrolab, Astrolabe.com. Free chart. This is the one I've been using for over a decade, and this is the one I did your chart on. I love it for like, sort of your gateway into astrology and your natal chart, because it's very simple, very pithy explanations for what each planet is located in, what each sign that the planets are located in.
Perfect. Yes. I love mine.
Yes. And so for our next, when we want to go deeper with yours, astro.com. So just take the lab off or the lab, astro.com. is a slightly more complex site. It's slightly, and by slightly, I mean many more options. You can do chart synastry, love and relationship charts, all sorts of things. But if you want to just do your natal chart, that is there for you too. Slightly less intuitive if you're new to astrology. Getting the Astrolab one first. And then graduating to astro.com once you have a really good sense of your Astrolab one.
And that is beautiful. Oh, yes.
Sorry, just a caveat. If that one doesn't, like if you don't love that one, there are so many other places if you just Google birth or natal chart astrology. Mm-hmm. Like so many resources. Those are just the two that I really like.
And I did. I like, because I had done the birth chart. Like I'd looked it up at another point. But I don't know if it was having your help in explaining it or if it was how Astrolab does explain it, but it finally made a little bit more sense. Like, mm-hmm. I think when I had done it previously, I was like, I just didn't understand it fully. And this, you like the Astrolab, like you said, those descriptions were really wonderful, mm-hmm. And really helpful. And so again, another like little explanation for people. So when you get your birth chart, and let me know if I'm getting this right, you get your sign for all of the planets. So you get the sun and you get the rising sign, which we've talked about, but you get like your sign for Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter,
yep.
and Uranus and Neptune. Yep. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So it's basically what sign are you in at birth? Wait, no. Where is the planet at the time of birth? What sign is it in?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Cool. And it is all based on actual cosmology. So a lot of people, you know, the naysayers or folks who are a bit more right-brained and not into this type of thing, you can rest assured this is an actual snapshot of the sky. So you might have seen them on Instagram. I kind of love these, like the Instagram ads for like the night sky at the time of your birth.
Oh, you know what? I did see that recently. Yes.
Those are, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a picture of the actual night sky based on where you were, what time it was and where your location was. Yeah. But what the natal chart gives you is the explanation of what that means in astrology. Mm-hmm. So I love, like, I don't know. I'm surprised I don't have one yet. Someone buy me one, by the way. How do I not have one?
Everyone else. This is a really great birthday present that I get to give. No one else do it.
Kidding, of course.
I know, but you know that every time I go to like any bookstore or like little store and then they have either tarot or like tarot cards or astrology books, like I'm always looking at all of them and I'm like, but I just don't know. I feel like Kathleen already has this one. So now I know something charty that you don't have. So yes. There you go.
Don't worry, I'll keep putting plugs. March 23rd, it's coming up.
Soon. Wonderful.
It is. It's very soon. Kind of weird. Well, so I guess like, so once you have your chart, first of all, I want to offer like, cause you and I have talked about this too. If you're really like, I just want someone to help me understand what the heck all this means. This mm-hmm. is one of my favorite things to do. And I'm in progress of figuring out how to monetize it for myself. But in the meantime, like, basically email me because we can work something out. So my email, we'll put this in the show notes too, but my email is KBB323. So it's my initials and my birthday at Gmail. Cause I would love to like have a call or send you an email or whatever. If you're really curious about this and you kind of want someone who nerds out about it and who will be really excited to tell you all this information, basically that's me. So
good. Thank you. It's about time that we did that because I can attest to the fact that it was really, really, I mean, we sat down for like 45 minutes, like maybe, and I figured out and understood it so much better. And I feel like it just kind of catapulted me from being completely overwhelmed to, oh shoot. Like I know more about me than I thought I did. And it mm-hmm. was, and I was able to then even like, because of what you did, you know, I was able to like look up my husband's chart and like not do the same explanation you did, but I was at least able to like make sense of it. So I kind of got to practice on another chart of like, oh, like I actually kind of retained this information. Like this is cool. So,
right.
So
I love that.
Yeah. So it's really, I think it's so worth it. So call her people and feel free to pay her. Yeah.
Accepting early birthday gifts as payment.
Yes, exactly. Here
we go. Or coffee or whatever. Yeah. Well, so to that end too, just to give like, so I've created, and Sam has this, and it's something that I do share with friends and, you know, acquaintances who do want their chart read. It's like I call it a mini cheat sheet as to what each of the planets really represent. So when you get your chart, if you're like me and you're independent AF, listen up because I'm about to give you some info. So rising and ascendant, like we said, interchangeable, it's a really important personality marker for you. And it's for a lot of us, it's the lens through which we view our personality, like our ego. So it's the mask we wear the world. And that can be confusing. You and I actually had a really good discussion about this last fall when we did your chart. But the idea that like, when you show up to work, when you show up to a party, you're not wearing your soul on your sleeve. Often you're wearing the mask that is like, this is my personality. This is the projection I kind of want to put out there to, you know, garner friends, garner garner approval or whatever it is we do as humans when we want to really just like make people like us. Mm-hmm. And it's often recommended by astrologers that you, if you read a daily, monthly, weekly horoscope, read your ascendant as well. Don't just read your sun. Yeah.
That's interesting. I actually didn't know that. And I didn't do that. I'm going to start doing that.
Get your Sag on.
I would love to. Well, and this is such a great point. Well, if should we dive in just like real quick into what I found with the ascendant versus sun? Like that was the fascinating thing, because like I mentioned, I don't think of myself as like a closet loner, studious Virgo. Like I am also, you know, a friendly, outgoing kind of person. And so the Sagittarius rising like made so much sense for that. I was like, oh yes, like this explains the energy and the enthusiasm and like the super smile. Like let's like, oh, I want to like know all about you. Like this sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. And then but if you're my husband, you know how much I love to like also be quiet and like have my routines and sit on the couch. So I wouldn't consider myself a Sagittarius like through and through, mm-hmm. but there's definitely that like aspect of it. And is that, did I explain that well?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So it made so much sense to the pieces of the Virgo. I mean, this particularly ascendant, the pieces of the Virgo that didn't make sense. Like, oh yeah, Sag. Yes. I like to get out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do I have it right that yours is Aries in both?
I'm Aries moon and Aries sun, but then I'm an Aquarius rising.
Oh, Aquarius rising. So mm-hmm. what did you learn when you learned that you were an Aquarius rising?
God, girl. I've said this before. I have a very Aries chart, like my moon, Venus. Oh my God. It's just Mercury. So I learned about myself with Aquarius was it super resonated with me. Because Aries get a bad rep for being like kind of tunnel vision, selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust me, I have that side to me too. So I'm not trying to say like, and I'm not that way at all, but, mm-hmm. but I don't really highly relate to that because not only am I one of four kids, meaning I'm the youngest of the four, I've always had to kind of compromise like certain things. I think of like dinner, like I wasn't going to get seconds first. I had to kind of like chill and wait for the older kids to get them. And I never got to ride shotgun. Mm-hmm. I always sat in the back. So I learned early that compromise is a really great way to make friendships. And I would say Aquarius, while Aquarius can be very stubborn, Aquarius is one of the main signs of friendship. They are, they're highly independent, but that's also how they win friends.
Mm-hmm. We did also talk about Aquarius, FYI. We talked about Aquarius a little more at length, but I think it was two moon chats ago, which is the Aquarian age. So just FYI, if you want a little more fun about Aquarius, that's where you can find it.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, rebel too. But it's so funny that the rebel has lots of friends. But yeah, that's so, and the air sign quality, you know, slightly less emotional would be an air sign quality. But then also the interest in I'm quoting it like direct from my chart, like science, mathematics, and the great social problems of the day. While I wouldn't consider myself science and math focused, I do think that like astrology, sort of metaphysical stuff, that's my version of science. That's the left brain science. And the fact that like I give a damn about the social problems of the day, but I also have a really personal Aries point of view. So I feel like that's why people want to hear when I talk about astrology, because I can see both.
Got it. See, and so cool. And I love how that really relates also then to the strengths that you bring, because that's also a great point of like my Sagittarius and my Virgo means that I'm outgoing and I'm going to talk to you and I can like be there, mm-hmm. but then also like can relate. I mean, I think I have a lot of clients that are kind of introverted, mm-hmm. and like, so hear them off. Like people are like happy to sit and talk to me because like, I'll sit there and listen. Like,
right.
I'm like, yeah, of course I'd love to sit here and listen. That's my favorite thing to do is sit and listen. I don't need to talk. Like, this will be great.
Yeah.
So I kind of see that as well. So I really love that, how you can kind of use that as that underlining or that highlighting of your strength.
Yeah. Well, and so it's funny because like there are things, if you do your chart for the first time, this is how I felt. I don't know if you felt this way. There are certain things I read that I bristled towards because I was like, no, there's no way. And I realized though, that's my ego stepping in and being like, There's a light and a dark. There's a shadow to every sign. There's no one sign that's like the best. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But like, there's one thing that my friends would say 100% about me, which is if I'm going to discover something or learn something, I want to do it by myself. And then I want to tell it to you. And then I want to convince you 100% that it's right. And that's something that was kind of hard for me to swallow, hard pill to swallow. And I was like, ah, it's true though.
That is really beautiful. Yeah. I don't remember any specific bristling, but I should go back and look at my chart. I'd be really curious to see again, now that I even have that extra perspective and like kind of digested more of it, like, okay, so what do I see in some of the rest of these signs?
Right. Well, and you're very self-aware and you read it as more of a true adult, whereas I was, you know, about 22 and I was reading mine and just like thought I knew everything. So that makes a difference too, for sure. But I am also stubborn. So
that is so funny. That is so, so good. Did you want to just name what the other planets are about, or should we leave?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. So we could talk, that could be a whole episode, and it might be one day, of just talking about the ascendant, because it is so interesting, and it can be, like you said, a huge game changer in understanding yourself. Like, oh, I always knew there was this other side of me, but I never had the words for it.
Yeah.
So cool. So Sun, we know, as the one that we read for, it's the one that you're usually told, and it's the true self, or the true soul self. It's who you are underneath it all. So like, closest family friends are usually going to say like, oh yeah, you're a Libra through and through, if that's what your sign is. Unless your chart shows that like, that's the only place where you have that placement. So, then we go to Moon, and the Moon is, and we talked about this, 'cause these are Moon chats. So what do we know about the Moon? Super tied to our inner world, our emotions. So what your Moon sign tells you is how you process things in the moment and how you react to them. So another really critical sign that you could read for if you want to, especially around like, if something's happening, whether it's I'm getting a new job or I'm ending a relationship or I'm moving, your Moon sign is going to be pretty illuminating as to why you might be feeling the way you feel or how you might be reacting.
Interesting. Okay. So in the moment, why are you reacting to this thing as you are?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was a hard one for me to kind of get and grasp because I have, again, Aries. So for me, it's like my true self and my reactions are very aligned, which can be a blessing and a curse, but, okay. So then we go out to Mercury, and Mercury, which is, we'll talk a little bit probably very briefly about, but Mercury being this fast moving planet, the smallest planet, but also if you look at like the Greek etymology, Mercury is ruled by Hermes, who is the god of communication. He's the god of travel. It's all about how we manage our comms, our friendships, our finances, even. It has to do with your speaking style, which is really cool. If you have, for example, like, let's say you're a super intelligent person, but you don't really feel like you have a strong voice. It could be like, you might find in your chart that your Mercury is placed in a very introverted, like a Pisces or something, where it's like not super clear linear communication.
Yes.
Styles, but maybe beautiful artistic sort of non-linear styles of communication. So Mercury is really cool for understanding that. And stop me if at any point too, because I know I'm kind of breezing through here, but.
Oh, this is perfect. This is great. I should have pulled up my chart before this, because I'm like, I can't wait to like go look again and see whatever.
I know. But you know, I have it all pulled up right now in front of me. I'm such a nerd.
No, that's really good. Because frankly, otherwise we would be here for 5 hours, because I would have checked every single piece about me. Hello.
I love it. Oh, your Mercury's in Libra. Okay. That's hard to remember.
Is it?
Yeah, very balanced.
Oh, thank you so much. Line up. Thank you.
I got both of ours pulled up.
Oh my god, my Mercury's in Libra. Okay. Oh great. All the fairness. Yes. Thank you.
Love it. So then we go to Venus, and Venus is one of those ones that I feel like a lot of us have an intuition about. Yeah, maybe about love, relationships, sensuality, but then also personal appearance. And it's also how we, so where Mercury is kind of like how we manage our money, spend our money a little bit more, or like how finances are going on around us. Venus is a more personal touch to your finances and is often kind of related to like salary or how you earn your income. So it's interesting. And the relationship with money is ruled by Venus. So like, I don't know, you could kind of say like, if you're into love languages or something, your Venus sign might actually make a lot of sense to you if you know what your love language is.
Got it. That's interesting. And the other thing that was coming up for me was, it's interesting because in the chakra system, second chakra in creativity, sexuality, but also relationship to money. So it is it's interesting that those play all together.
Very. And rose quartz is a really great crystal for that.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, I learned that in my crystals workshop.
I know that the rose quartz was for that. Interesting. Okay.
It can also be
all-purpose fabulousness. But what do you use rose quartz for?
Well, but you could also use it for the heart chakra too. But I think that it's because it's I don't know. I agree. I think it's kind of a catch-all. I think rose quartz is just beautiful in general. It's like kind of it's like clear quartz in that way. But yeah, it's good for love. But oftentimes I feel like we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And if you really think that a rose quartz is going to find you the perfect mate, maybe there's some more introspection you could do. And that's not judgment. That's more like projection. Whereas if you use rose quartz as like, you know what, like I want to bring love to me, because then that, like from me, then that attracts love to me of the highest and best path. So that's how I've been using it lately.
Beautiful. I love that.
Side note. Okay. So Mars and Venus right next to each other. So Mars, where Venus is love and sensuality, Mars is more of your aggression and sexuality, your physical movement. And then it is about like your career path. So Venus and Mars do play a big part in both your romantic relationships as well as your relationship with your career and your finances. So just interesting to note how, like you said, and second chakra related, that those are very interconnected in a way. But you'll find too, like for me, for example, I have very different Venus and Mars, and they're kind of like, it's something I'm trying to figure out and come to grips with. So my Venus is in Aries, which is not like a super great placement when you really think about it, because Venus is like fixed earth, like subtle, tender, and Aries is like fiery movement, boom, let's go.
Got it.
Then you get to Mars, and my Mars is in Taurus, so I flip-flop the two. So so the native planet is being ruled by a sign that's not necessarily like the best, I'll just call it not the best placement, but as with anything, astrology is for you, not to you. So you're not cursed. You're not like, you're not screwed over. You're not unlucky in love. It's just sort of the placement you got in this life, and you can work with it and make it the best you can, which is, again, I'll call you when I figure that out, but I'm working with it.
No, that's beautiful. And that's, I really appreciate you saying that though, because I think that's also really an important one, because sometimes we fight and you know that creates more strife than like sure, okay, great, it's not great that your Taurus is in your Mars is in Taurus,
right?
But it only makes it worse if you're like, I hate that my Mars is in Taurus.
Right, exactly, because there's good and bad to both. I mean, and good and bad are relative, so so once we get away from Mars, now we're moving into the outer planets, which are slower moving. So Jupiter is, you'll hear it be called the lucky planet. It's expansive. It's about power, personal power still, but a bit more like on a broader scale. So to have Jupiter, for example, if we're talking about transiting planets, so like the astrology of right now, to have Jupiter in certain aspects of your chart is like a lucky thing. So for example, and this is where people can get like, you know, like kind of into the nitty gritty of astrology. Jupiter's in my, what is it? Like third house of career. I'm probably screwing that up. But so right now is a really good time to actually revamp my resume and go do some networking calls and put myself out there, because I have this really powerful, expansive planet that is on my side, is backing me up. So I'm going to leverage that energy and go out there and kind of maybe take a couple extra actions that I wouldn't normally do.
So when you say that, I guess I'll get just a little confused because I was born. I mean, obviously everyone has Jupiter somewhere.
Yes.
Like everyone has a sign for Jupiter. But what do you mean when you say, oh, my Jupiter's now in a specific place at the specific, like I'm 30 years old and now Jupiter is, I think you said, in my third house. Like what?
Right. And I made that up. So to be fair, so it's a great question. And this is one, like in the past two years, this is where like my learning has deepened. So in the house systems, which we'll talk about on a future episode, the idea is that the planets, the cosmos, we're constantly in motion.
Yes.
Everything's constantly moving. And right now, though, when you were born, Jupiter was in Gemini, because I have your chart up.
Oh, thank you.
Right now, where is Jupiter right now? It was in Aquarius, so that was really lucky for me in my career. But that's kind of like, so when we said like there was a full moon in Aquarius and then a new moon in Virgo.
Yes.
Jupiter has the same stuff going on. So not always in the same areas, but then the placement of your chart, once you're able to get a really good understanding of your basic, like my ascendant, your ascendant is what dictates your first house. So for you, it starts with Sagittarius. And so just to give you like the really quick rundown, there's 12 signs that go in a wheel.
Yes.
And so the wheel of your chart, your first house starts with Sag, and then it moves around the wheel in the order that the wheel is, like, that's fixed. It doesn't change. So okay. That Sagittarius is next to both. What are we looking at here? Your first house, second house, third house. Yeah. So then it goes around counterclockwise, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, et cetera. And each house rules a different part. And it's the same for everyone. Like for everyone, first house represents your sense of self. So that's why your ascendant is considered a big part of your personality.
Got it. Okay. So when you're talking about Jupiter being in a specific house, that's not, so for example, we said that when I was born, it was Jupiter in Gemini. Mm-hmm. So you're not saying, or are you saying when Jupiter is in Gemini now, that's a great time for me to think about career or this expansiveness? Or are you saying based on what my kind of ascendant was, then when Jupiter is in that specific house, that's when I need to focus on that?
It's both.
And okay, perfect. I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's both. And that's where, if you do monthly astrology, if you start getting deeper into the house systems, that's where, so like you have a mini breakthrough when you do your natal chart for the first time, in my opinion, where you're like, oh damn, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of a full picture.
Yeah.
But then life isn't stagnant. We're not just always like, I'm always like in my moon with Aries. Like that's just always how it is. I'm always fiery and I always have snap decisions. And no, because sometimes the moon is in other signs, which is going to play differently on your personality. So like, and I'm excited to talk more about this at a different time. But the idea is that the wheel that you've gotten, that is your chart.
Yes.
Now that you know that first house, which is on the left, sort of like the left quadrant, left bottom quadrant, but equal to that's the horizon right there is of Earth. And then the circle inside of your chart is Earth.
Okay.
So it's like, so you're looking at an actual just like, very simple drawing of Earth, which is a circle in the middle of the chart. Then the line that cuts through it is the horizon. And then your ascendant is on that bottom left of the horizon. And so you can, if I don't know if you have your chart up, but what you can see is that actually Sagittarius is in both your 12th and your first house because that line cuts in between.
Okay.
So it's interesting. What's before it? Cap. So then your Capricorn is actually part of your first house as well.
Interesting,
isn't it? And then you go down to your second house. Your second house houses both Aquarius and what's before Aquarius? What's after Aquarius?
What's after Aquarius? Isn't that Aries right after Aquarius? Because it starts again.
Oh, it's Pisces. Duh. Pisces. Oh, duh. Yeah. 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 You're like, again, for all those listening, like, you know, there's a lot to know. So don't feel overwhelmed, because even I don't remember everything.
Yeah, I'm excited to like dive super deep into the house system at some point. Because what you started to say, like, I think I'm starting to grasp it, but I think a deep dive into houses will be so, so useful.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, I'll put a pin in it for now, but yeah, for sure. Yeah,
for now. So, okay. So you're Jupiter, that expansive, and it's kind of more, a little bit more fixed.
Yes. But lucky, what it touches, it makes bigger. So people do say lucky, but then, and I think we've talked about this, but it makes anything it touches bigger. So if there's a problem, it might actually, you know, magnify it, but which can be a good thing, right? Because now it's like, now I can't ignore it, because Jupiter has made it really just in my face. I can't say no anymore.
Okay.
So, and then big picture of life is also Jupiter, kind of like the overarching, like the so what. Jupiter's kind of intertwined with that, of like how you view life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I know Jupiter is very, very cool. Saturn gets a bad rap, but because Saturn is sort of like where Jupiter is expansive, Saturn's a bit more constrictive. It's a taskmaster planet, forces us to really look at ourselves. If you didn't do something right the first time, like if you didn't take the necessary steps, if you didn't do the due diligence, Saturn's going to basically be that part of your personality that's like, you got to do it. Like, I'm going to make you redo the whole thing if you don't do it right the first time, which causes growth. So in that way, Saturn is, it's called the taskmaster by a lot of astrologers. It's detail oriented, where Jupiter's big picture. Saturn is like, but did you check all of the detail boxes? Like, did you, because if you missed step five, you can't go on to step six, and you got to go back and do step five all the way. So it's a big growth one. And it starts, this is also where we start to get, let me just confirm it, because the astrolab chart's really good about this. It starts to tell you like you and your generation.
Yeah.
Okay. So Saturn is actually still a bit personal, but it starts to get bigger, because like you're gonna find that folks born the same year as you actually share a lot of the same outer planets.
Exactly. And I think that was and that's something we discussed, because so my husband, he's born like maybe just under 2 months before me, so we share a lot of like same year and everything. So I think our Saturn, I feel like our Saturn's in something really active. Yes, exactly. And like, and when I read that, particularly for Saturn and Sag, it just made a lot of sense to me, like of why we get along. And also something we really connect on is like our drive, especially as it relates to work and how we view work. Mm-hmm. And so like, that was something that was like, oh, that's really neat. Like, cause that makes sense of, given that we have that the same, and cause we are born so close together, like that just makes a lot of sense. And I guess we were born in different locations, so it could have been different, but
totally. No, I love that. From a, like a compatibility perspective, when you really think about it, the outer planets are your values. Cause you're going to have your personal traits, your personal likes, dislikes, preferences. But when you start getting into Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, they're all really about like what you and your generation feel. And it's like the lens you view things through as a group. And I love that perspective. It makes sense why a lot of folks do tend to couple off or find partners who are close in age.
Yeah.
And vice versa. It could also be a really great understanding as to why you might go for someone who's completely different from you or completely a different age from you, because you might have a chart that has placement where you're like, I don't want somebody who's a lot like me. I actually need someone to challenge me and force me to see things differently. And that might attract you to somebody who's not of the same Jupiter or Saturn.
Another placement point. Yeah. Like, so that's another funny thing with my husband and my chart, of like our outer planets are all like exactly the same, but then all of our inner planets are like completely 180s of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Really funny.
I love that.
Mine goes like a lot like to the left and the top, and his is all to the right and to the top. And so it's an interesting like separate and together. And I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah, it's like you both get to have your own personalities and be individuals, but then you also have this very common ground of like, but we have the same values.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I love that.
I like that. Cool. What's our planet?
Uranus, formerly known as Uranus, is, you had to say it. This is the planet that rules, if you remember, Aquarius. So freedom, individual self among the group, expression. And this is also where you start to get into your generations. So let me just double check. Yours is in Sag, I believe. Mine is too, because we're only 3 years apart.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And so it's like millennials,
mm-hmm.
essentially. This idea that like, and I'm just going to read this because I want every millennial to feel very validated in this.
That would be lovely.
Having your Uranus in Sag, you and most of your peers have the tendency to think that all ideas, customs, and traditions from the past are outmoded and irrelevant. You are attached to radically new ideas, philosophies, and religions that will hopefully cause sweeping changes throughout the world. I just think that that's like, yes, because, you know, being in this metaphysical space of like, I love astrology, I love healing work as an individual, therapy, all of it, like, I love that our generation's kind of like, it's hard to be the change, but we're also kind of like, can't keep certain things the same. They aren't working anymore.
That's what I was going to say. Like the kind of like inevitability of change and the inevitability of like, listen, people, like, that's great that you've been doing it this way. But, you know, I think we could, like, it could be fun to like shake it up a little bit. So
yeah,
that's a really cool thing. And I think, and kind of part of that is also, it's not because like we're flippant. Right. Like, I think it's often like millennials are just anti-establishment because I think it's cool. It's like, no. Like, we think that there's a really good reason for everything that we're doing. Like, this is not because we just want to. Like, it's seems like a great idea for some larger purpose, which I think is really important.
I think that's beautifully said. I just tried to Google like baby boomers Uranus placement in astrology. I'll get back to you. But because I just would love to see like the difference.
That's a good point.
To be continued. Let's go to Pluto though. So Pluto, where are we? Oh, Neptune, I apologize. Neptune represents, and Neptune's, you know, it's like ethereal looking. It's very like cloudy, soft looking. Gaseous, but it represents dreams, art, the subconscious, escapism, emotional connections. And again, on a grander generational level, Neptune is kind of like how we articulate or view things like art and dreams. And Neptune also can represent like addictions, things like that. But yeah, so then we go to Pluto.
Great.
And Pluto is around transformation.
Ooh.
Also dreams. Also kind of a like ethereal planet with a little more mystery. But then also like secrets, other realms, sort of like what's repressed. What are you keeping down that needs to come out?
Interesting.
Pluto plays like, I think, if you think of like Kundalini yoga.
Yeah.
Like Pluto is very Kundalini-ish.
Ooh.
Is how I would define it.
That's interesting. That's okay. Like how's the energy moving up? And how's the energy?
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Where is our Pluto?
Scorpio. Go figure.
Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. So for you and your entire generation, this is a period of intense research and discovery in areas that were heretofore considered mysterious, remote, or taboo. The root causes for many complex occurrences will be unearthed due to the intensity and thoroughness of the search. So it's like kind of to your point about we're not flippant.
Yeah.
We're not. If there's Scorpio, there's nothing flippant about Scorpio. Scorpio means business.
Well, this makes me even think about just like, for example, gender conformity and like,
yes.
Aware of like the names and pronouns and what are we saying and how to, like, there's in some ways like intense research of like, hey, by the way, like, I know I've been pretending that I'm a girl, but really I'm actually not. So how do we deal with this?
Yes. Right? Like,
we're actually kind of unearthing all of these stones of, wait, what are all of the human conditions that exist? Like, actually everything's not black and white. Everything's not boy or girl. Everything's, you know, and like, let's really understand what like demarcations exist.
Mm-hmm. And I like such a good example too, because, and not in no way is it probably like an accident, is that Scorpio is like a very, it's the probably the most sexual of the signs. And that doesn't just mean like you're into sex, but it means like the idea that like you or Scorpio in general represents this sort of like serpent energy, like Kundalini, this sort of like androgynous sensuality, the idea that like everything is fluid, there isn't, like you said, a black and white. And so it makes sense that this like mysterious, small, yet transformative planet is in this intensely detail-oriented, sexually charged, like no stone left unturned, power generated sign. Like Scorpio is all about the power too. Scorpios know, if you know a Scorpio here or there or otherwhere, like they know what they're doing. They walk into a room, whether their rest of their chart is placed otherwise, like Scorpios have a deep knowing of like who actually calls the shots. And it's usually them. And also how to get that power.
Sometimes, yeah.
Say that. Oh, sorry. Say that again.
I said I get Scorpio jealousy sometimes.
They're something, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like just a cool energy. And yeah, given the like self reflective, like let's always go underneath another layer. Like it would be so refreshing to just be like, but this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, so kind of different. We've talked about like the areas of like, well, of course this is who I am, but then as compared to like a Scorpio of like, no, I know. Like, I know.
Yeah. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
There's just one last thing I wanted to share because I know we're probably around time, but okay, if you do Astrolab, the chart is going to tell you what your north node is. And I just want to, this is like a little teaser because I think we can do a really cool, fun chat on this as well.
I would love to because this one was super mind-blowing because I'd never heard of this north node thing until you talked about it. So I'm so glad you're going to mention it.
Yay, okay. So the idea of the north node is, it's in karmic astrology, the idea that this is actually kind of like your life purpose, your dharma, as an individual, what you're striving for. And so it's sort of like, let's call it like the North Pole or whatever, North Star, North Pole. It's the North Pole. It's the North Star. It's the North Star of your chart. The idea that like deep down, this is what your soul is seeking. And so if you can kind of align your path, knowing what you know through the rest of your chart, towards that North Star, get there as you need. There is no correct blueprint. It's what works for you. That might be like, it'll allow your soul to kind of evolve to that next level, which I love because I feel like, hey, if we're here, we might as well get better.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so more to follow on that. But and feel free to go down a rabbit hole. There's lots of cool blogs and information around the North and South Node. The idea is that the South Node is actually where you reincarnated from. The type mm-hmm. of life you came from. So it's the polar opposite of your north node. It's the 6 months away from sign. So, yeah.
That I thought that was so amazing. And that was really cool. That I really, really love that one. I am so glad that we really did this and really dove in. Like I learned a lot again and it really solidified and like reminded me of a lot of things. And so like, I feel like it's just that's you know another layer of learning to be able to take it to the next level. And
yes.
So, you know, highly recommend everyone goes and grabs their natal chart. And just that reminder, I think what you were saying at the beginning, that if you don't know what time you were born, if like you know you can't talk to your mom or she doesn't remember because she was busy, what time it was, start with noon. And then if your ascendant feels like crazy and like you're like, hell no, that is not how I like to show up in the world, mm-hmm. then go to like 10 a.m. and then go to 8 a.m. and kind of see like if any of them really fit. And mm-hmm. you're like, yes. And then you can go based on that. But if you have the exact time, that's really nice because it's also just nice to have that time set up.
Yeah. Perfect.
Do you have like two sentences to share in Mercury retrograde or should we pick that up and talk about that next time?
You know what? Let's talk about it next time. All I'm going to say is that any word that has RE in front of it, I read this from another astrologer and I love it. Think of Mercury retrograde as your time to start doing that. Review, revisit, recycle, reevaluate, reimagine. So things that are positive, like reframe it, reframe, is what I would offer to folks listening. Instead of feeling like it's a time of constriction, it could actually be a time of just going back and seeing, hey, what can I do with what I already have?
Well, exactly. And we'll see if like this is where you're kind of going with it at all. But I kind of was thinking about this because, you know, whenever we think of Mercury retrograde, we think of all of our electronics and everything not working. Mm. And it's like, well, what if instead it was just an invitation to like be quiet and not try to do so much?
Yes.
Because you don't have issues with everything breaking if you're not using them.
Yes. Yes, I know. That's exactly what I mean. And I love that. And I know it's hard with work because so many of us are like an email-based workforce and that's how we get things done. But what if you picked up the phone instead? Or what if your screen freezing was an opportunity? I'm going to get up and take a 10-minute walk because I guarantee you by the time you come back, it's probably fixed or about to be fixed.
Exactly.
So I love it.
Love that. Gosh, Kathleen, once again, you've blown my mind. I'm so grateful for what we do. Everyone, please do email her. I mean, not too many emails, so then she just good. And it's kbb323 mm-hmm. at gmail.com. And then also that same, her Instagram is kbb323. Anything else to share, girl?
No, I'm so excited. Let's just do this forever.
Oh my God. I think that's a really, really, really great idea. Okay. Love you, Chica.
Love
all you people out there. Have a wonderful day. Stay. I want to like give like a stay in, you know, stay in the right constellation. I don't know. Just like stay the course.
Stay the course in your Milky Way placement. Love you all.
Oh my God. Okay. Have a good one, sweet.
Bye, Sam.